I'm supposed to be teaching on Colossians, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let Paul have that. I looked at it, and I felt like God was saying something else. Well, I know my heart has been another place this morning, this week. So I wouldn't even call what I'm going to share with you really a sermon. It's just what's been on my heart and my mind. So will you pray with me? Father, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you read the news on a daily basis, but I do. I read the news every morning. And this past week, I read about a controversy surrounding Target. And I don't know how much of you know about that. I love Target. I love to shop at Target. I like Target's clothes. I think they have some really cute clothes. I've always shopped at Target, but I don't think I'm going to be shopping at Target anymore. I was interested in the headline that I read this week because a couple of weeks ago I was walking through Target, and I just passed by the young girls section, like 8, 9, 10 years old. And there was a pink shirt hanging there prominently that had a girl lying across it with a thought bubble. And it said, "I just can't stop thinking about girls." And as I walked by, I thought, why in the world do we feel like we've got to push this on kids? And it just made me angry. It's just like, why in the world? Why in the world are we having to push girls thinking about girls on kids? And then this week, the article that I read was about how Target had angered some customers over its tuck-friendly swimsuits. And I won't go into that. I'll let y'all figure that out. But then now, in addition to that, it's come to light that they are one of their suppliers. Yes, excuse me, I can't think. Is a company called Abpralen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Abpralen. And their designer's name is Eric Carnell, and he's an outspoken Satanist whose brand features occult images and messages like "Satan respects pronouns" on brand apparel. And they also sell merchandise with aggressive messages attacking critics, like pins that have phrases like "heteronormativity is a plague," "burn down the system," C-I-S-T-E-M, and one that says "homophobe headrest with an image of a guillotine." And the designer, Eric Carnell, he's a transgender, and he considers himself a Satanist, but he says that he doesn't believe in Satan, just like he doesn't believe in the Bible or in God. He says that Satan is a metaphor. He says Satan represents passion, pride, and liberty, and he loves all LGBT plus people. And then he goes on to say that Satan means to you what you need him to mean. So for me, Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. So naturally, Satan respects pronouns. So as I was reading this, I immediately thought of the Keith Green song. Now, I hope that y'all had a chance to come see the Keith Green musical and hear a lot of the Keith Green songs. And if you'd never heard of Keith Green, that you were introduced to Keith Green. But one of his songs that was not in the play is a song called "No One Believes in Me Anymore." And the words go like this: "Oh, my job keeps getting easier as time keeps slipping away. I can imitate the brightest light and make the night look just like day. I put some truth in every lie to tickle itching ears. You know I'm drawing people just like flies because they like what they hear. I'm gaining power by the hour. They're falling by the score. You know it's getting very simple now since no one believes in me anymore. Oh, heaven's just a state of mind my books read on your shelf. Oh, have you heard that God is dead? I made that one up myself. They dabble in magic spells. They get their fortunes read. You know they heard the truth, but turned away and followed me instead. I used to have to sneak around, but now they just open their doors. You know, no one is watching for my trick since no one believes in me anymore. Everyone likes a winner. With my help, you're guaranteed to win. Hey, man, you ain't no sinner. No, you've got the truth within. And as your life slips by, you'll believe the lie that you did it on your own. But don't worry, I'll be there to help you share a dark, eternal home. Oh, my job keeps getting easier as day slips into day. The magazines and the newspapers print every word I say. This world is just my spinning top. It's all like child's play. You know, I dreamed that it would never stop, but I know it's not that way. Still, my work goes on and on, always stronger than before. I'm going to make it dark before the dawn, since no one believes in me anymore. I also thought about the song that was in the play called Asleep in the Light. And the section where it says, open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one. But like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. And, you know, I feel kind of like Jonah because I don't really want to talk about this morning any more than the next person. But I do think the church, we've got to wake up and we've got to get in the game. So as I mulled over this week and thought about the articles and what's going on in our culture, two verses kept coming to my mind. And the first one was Ecclesiastes, just the very first part of verse 1 that says, remember your creator. Remember your creator. And the second one was Romans chapter 1, verse 25, that says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And I thought about those two verses because for a long time I have been convinced that what we see going on in society can be summed up with these two verses. We have forgotten that God is the creator and has the right to say what goes on with his creation. And we have exchanged that truth for the lie that people and what they think and feel is to be elevated above what God says. So I want to share with you this morning four things that I believe to be true. And you get your Bibles and look around at the culture and see if you agree. Because I'm not here to tell somebody what to think. I just want to share with you what I believe the Bible teaches is true. And let's reason together, so to speak. The first thing is that God is the creator of everything and everyone. And we need to remember this daily. He is the one who gets to say what a thing is used for and what our bodies are made for. Because he's the creator. Now, I was thinking about what a current musician, pick any of the top musical artists these days, what they would do if they wrote a song and somebody took their song that they had created and began to do with it whatever they wanted, as if they had a right. Anyone and everyone would be infuriated because they would see the injustice. They would see the unfairness. People would be screaming, that's not right. You can't do that. It's not your song. Or a painter, an artist. Think of someone who paints a beautiful picture. It's the original. And then somebody takes that original and just decides to put their spin on it. Again, everybody would be saying, that's not right. You can't do that. You're not the creator. It's not yours. But isn't it the same way with God? Isn't it the same way with God? If we think about Psalm 100, which we used to have to memorize in elementary school, I know most of you in here are about my age or older. And you remember in elementary school, we had to memorize Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It is He who made us, and we are His." And not only that, but if we are born again believers, 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." If you're a believer, your body is not your own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's been bought with a price of the blood of Jesus. The second truth that I want to share with you this morning is that God loves His creation. He is the creator, but He loves His creation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." God is the creator. He's also love. And so His desire for His creation is motivated by love. Everything He says is good for us or bad for us is because, as the Creator, He made it so. He made it that way. He made us that way. And so whatever He says is the way that we should live is good, and it's motivated by love. So we can trust Him and His way to be the best, even if our desires and our feelings tell us something different. That's where we learn to trust Him. God, You made me. You are my creator. And even though my flesh is screaming that I want this, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust what You say, that this is how You made me. A third truth is that God is angry at sin. And sin, according to Isaiah 53, is simply 53 verse 6, I believe, is simply going our own way. It says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." So that's simply, sin is simply going our own way, opposed to the Creator's way. So God is angry at sin, at us choosing our own way instead of His way. But He's not angry like we get angry. He's not calling names and looking down on people. He's angry, I think, more like when your child runs out in the street and they're about to get run over, and you grab them and you are angry at them because they have disobeyed you and almost got themselves killed. I think God's anger is more like that, though it's not exactly like that, because we can't comprehend God's anger. But God, we do know that God is not angry that He wants people to die. In Ezekiel 33:11, it says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?" And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is angry at sin. And I mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, you know, we live in the generation of the offended. Everybody's offended. That offends me. Have we ever for one second thought about how offended God is as the Creator when he looks at his creation and sees what we have done with what he has created? God is offended every day. And the fourth truth that I wanted to share with you this morning is that our society today has exchanged the truth about God for a lie and is worshiping and serving the creature instead of the Creator. Even many in the church are worshiping the Lord but serving their idols. I mean, people may say, "Well, I go to church every Sunday and I sing the worship songs and I love to worship. I love to worship." But there's a verse in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33, that I came across years ago that has just always been right there in the back of my mind. And it says, "They worshiped the Lord, but they also served their idols in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought." And today, many, even Christians, are worshiping the Lord, but we are serving the idols of this culture that we live in. And I think this happens frequently when we are believers, but we find out that someone we love very much is caught up in all this sexual confusion in our culture. They're living in a way that is contrary to God's words and his ways. Instead of holding to God and worshiping God and serving him, we continue to worship him, but we serve those we idolize by changing our values and watering down what the Creator says. It's like, you remember when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to the cross, and Peter rebuked him and said, "Oh no, Lord, this is never going to happen to you." And Jesus turned around, he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not on the side of God. You are on the side of man." In one version it says, "You are not looking after God's interest. You are looking after man's interest." And that's what we are doing today. And Jesus called Peter Satan for doing that. But we so often are saying, "I am more concerned about how a person feels and whether it will hurt their feelings than I am about how the Creator God feels and what his interests are in this person's life and in society at large. So I'm going to side with this person. I'm not going to say anything or do anything. I'm just going to accept everything and everybody and love everything and everybody, even though I know God says differently, because I am on the side of man instead of the side of God." Those are the choices that we have. And I'm not saying that we should shun people or hate people or not show love and affection for people who believe differently than we do, but we must not exchange the truth of God for a lie and idolize the people. We must not compromise to please others. We must not accept things we know God declares are sin in order to spare someone's feelings. God must be first, no matter who the person is. And I can guarantee you, if this test has not come into your life yet, it will. Because all of us will have to face this test in the culture that we live in. Am I going to choose man's side and their interest and make them feel good? Or am I going to stand with my God and say, I love you, but God the Creator says this is wrong? Every one of us will face that. And in the process, I can tell you from experience that God will take the idol of that person out of your heart, and it will hurt like you know what. You will have maybe days and nights like I have had when you are literally pulling your hair out. You know, I've heard that saying all of my life. I wanted to pull out my hair. I have literally been in so much pain personally over this issue that I have pulled my hair out. So I am not standing up here as one who does not know what she is saying, as one who has not walked this path of having God take an idol and tear it out of your flesh. But what I am trying to make people see and understand and reason with me is that we cannot compromise with the culture and continue to serve our God. Either God is first in your life or he is not. And a person cannot take his place. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Who are we going to serve? God or our loved ones and the people in the culture? I'm not saying don't love them. Love everybody. Let the love of God through the Holy Spirit be poured in you and through you, and you love everybody on the face of this earth because God does. But don't you compromise what God the Creator created us to be. Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Not whom you will worship, because remember, we can worship the Lord and serve our idols, but whom you will serve. And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So to summarize, God is the Creator. Our bodies were made and they belong to the Creator. And if we are born again, we have been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. And we are to glorify God in our bodies. And that means whatever we put on them, whatever we put in them, whatever we do with them, we are accountable to Him. And that's from food to tattoos to sex. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's a sin for you to get a tattoo, but I am going to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, talk to him about it, because it's his body. Make sure it's one that he wants you to have, and he says yes. I'm not your judge. God loves his creation, but is angry at sin and wickedness and will pour out his wrath on it one day. Our society is crumbling right before our very eyes because we have exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. But as believers in Jesus, we are to be salt and light. We are to be seen and heard. And so don't let Satan deceive you into silence, and don't serve idols. Don't let the culture tell you that you are a hater, that you are a bigot, that you are a racist, that you are whatever name they want to call you, when you know that you have been on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ and you have said, search my heart, O God, and see if there is any wicked way in me. And you know that the love of God is in your heart and you do not hate. You are not a bigot. You are not a racist. You know these things are not true. So don't let somebody tell you that those things are and shut you up. We are so scared to be called names. Don't let the world tell you what you are. Don't be any of those things. Don't be a hater. Don't be a bigot. Don't be a racist. But don't let the world tell you that you are when you're not. Let's don't let any of that be true of 3 Point. Let's don't be asleep in the light and not able to fight. And let's not think that we are being loving and kind when we accept everyone's ideas of right and wrong, when nothing could be further from the truth. There is truth, and it is found in the Word of God. There is right and wrong, and one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of God and give account for what we have done in the body. And those are not my words, those are God's words. So are we worshiping and serving the Creator? Or have we unknowingly exchanged the truth of God for a lie and begun to worship and serve the creature? Do we let people tell us what's right and wrong according to how they feel? Or do we search the Scriptures and let God, the Creator, tell us what's right and wrong and how He wants us to live? Franklin Graham said last week at a conference, every demon in hell has been unleashed, and Christians should brace themselves for rough sailing ahead. Now is the time for action. Don't be deceived and don't be fooled by the flood of wokeness. Keep speaking the truth rather than avoiding conflict to spare someone's feelings. Love them enough to warn them. If you just look at society, you see that all of this that we have bought into is leading us to utter chaos. Look at our cities. Look at what's going on. Look at the anger. Look at the hate. Clint and Ashton were telling me just last week in Sunday school that even in the Truett's parking lot, there are people getting out of their cars, fighting each other in a drive-through because somebody didn't move fast enough. We're angry. It's because we've forgotten our Creator. We've forgotten God. Will you pray with me? Lord, forgive us. Forgive us that we have forgotten that You are the Creator, that everything, the cattle on 1,000 hills, everything is Yours. It's all Yours. And as we pray in that prayer every Sunday, all the glory, all the power, the kingdom, everything is Yours. So Lord, forgive us for going our own way, for choosing our own path, and thinking, making ourselves our God. Lord, because when we walk away from You and from Your word and what You have revealed of Yourself, we are just making a God of our own making. As the song says, we've made You in our image, and so our faith is idolatry. So, Lord, forgive us. And we ask that You would have mercy and that You would revive us. As we sang in the song earlier, Lord, revive us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You would come and rain down power and love upon us and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And Lord, I pray that 3 Point would be salt and we would be light to this community, that You would show us how to reach out to this community that we are in. Lord, that You would open the doors and that we would go out of them into the community and that the community would come in them and find You, Jesus, the living water that we are all so desperate for. Lord, teach us how to share the gospel. Give us understanding and comprehension of the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And Lord, may we love each other that way. Lord, we pray that You would wake us up. that we would not be asleep in the light, that you would teach us to fight. Lord, that we would not look down on people, that we would not curse the darkness, but that we would light a candle. In Jesus' name, amen.